Good evening. Our sermon text this evening comes from Psalm 11. Please give ear to God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. To the choir master of David. In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked bend the bow. They have fitted their arrow to the string to shoot in the dark at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see, his eyelids test the children of man. The Lord tests the righteous, but his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Let him rain coals on the wicked. Fire and sulfur and a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Let us look to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come in this time to you asking that you would please open our eyes to this word that you have given us this evening. Please teach us and let us know Christ through this time. We ask this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Maybe you haven't asked that specific question, but perhaps you've asked something like it. When everything is falling apart in your life, what can you do? I don't know about y'all, but in the last year or two, it's felt like a lot of things have been falling apart. We've had a worldwide pandemic. We've had contentious elections. We've had riots. And that's not even to mention the personal experiences that many of us have been through or are going through. The loss of a job, the loss of health, injuries, death of friends and family members. Well, it's good for us in this time to turn to Psalm 11 to remind us how we ought to respond when it feels like the foundations are being destroyed, when the earth feels like it's falling out from under us. David in Psalm 11 faces some difficult situation. We don't know what that is, but it's probably some intrigue in his court, some political machinations. And we know that David was being given advice. He was being told to flee. And not only was he being told to flee, but he recognized that in being told to flee, he was being tempted. He was being tempted to live as though God was not in control of his circumstance. And we, of course, are tempted in that very same way in our day-to-day lives, whether it's advice from friends or just within us. We're tempted to believe that God is not in control of our circumstances. And what Psalm 11 does is it gives us two ways of responding to hardships in life, whether these are big things are small. Really, it gives us two ways to respond to all things in life. There are two ways you can respond to problems, and I'll give you the technical terms. One is the bad way, and two is the good way. So those are our two main points this evening, the bad way and the good way to respond to life circumstances. And for each of those points, we will have three sub-points. For each of these points, for the bad way and the good way, we will ask the bad way of approaching and the good way of approaching circumstances, what is your focus, what do you fear, and where do you put your faith? So 2 points, the bad way and the good way of approaching life circumstances, and in those, where is your focus, where is your fear, and where is your faith? So first, responding to life circumstances the bad way. Well, the psalm starts out in verse 1, and David says, in the Lord I take refuge. psalm begins from the perspective of David's belief in God. He begins by declaring his trust in God, but right after that, we see that this trust is being attacked. Likely, given the circumstances, this is probably some advice that a well-meaning friend is trying to give to David to flee. But David recognizes that this advice is, in this circumstance, bad advice. That's why he says, "How can you say this to me?" Right? He recognizes that given his trust in God, the advice he's given undermines faith in God. Now, we have to acknowledge that at times it's hard to understand how advice like this is bad advice. Sometimes, even in David's life, David had to flee. He had to flee to escape Saul when Saul was trying to kill him. He had to flee when Solomon, his own son, sought to supplant him. So what makes this bad advice? Well, we'll see through seeing what its focus and what the fear mentioned and what the faith is in this passage, that it is bad advice. We'll begin by looking at the focus. The focus. If you look briefly at this passage again, the focus of this advice is on David and his own safety. When he says, "Flee like a bird to your mountain," this advice encourages David to look out for himself. It is self-centered. It puts safety first, and of course, we can say in a sense that, yes, God wants us to be safe. Of course, his idea of safety is sometimes a little different than ours. When Jesus speaks to us of the call of discipleship, he says, "Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me." Well, he says, "Seek God's kingdom first and his righteousness, and then all these things in this life will be added to you." Safety is not found by focusing on ourselves. It is found by focusing on Christ. So the focus of this bad way of approaching life circumstance is to focus on ourselves and prioritize our earthly comfort and safety. Along with the focus, the fear that we see in this passage is it's a general fear of the worst outcome possible. You notice how verse 2 describes David's enemies, the wicked. Bend the bow. They have fitted their arrow to the string to shoot in the dark at the upright in heart. Now, I can't be sure, but I think this advice that David is getting is probably blowing things a little out of proportion. David was in danger, yes. Verse 2 sounds like David's enemies were a special ops force. It sounds kind of like he has, you know, army rangers who are against him. And that is probably not the case, but the perspective of this advice is that given David's circumstances, the worst is probably going to happen, and so he needs to flee. When we respond poorly to circumstances in life, usually fear blows things out of proportion. And it's fear of the circumstances or of our enemies, so to speak, that motivates us. I think Dr. Kara this morning highlighted one area where this is definitely true of us. How often when you have a situation where you can witness to Christ, do you come up with the worst possible outcome for that witness opportunity, and it sort of keeps you from speaking about Christ, testifying? I can think often when I have someone who I think about, oh, if I share the gospel with him, well, he'll probably ask me this question, and then I'll say this, and then he'll ask me this question, I'll say this, and I get myself into the place where he asks me a question I don't know the answer to, so it's probably a bad thing to start witnessing, right? We do that thing. We come up with the worst possible scenario motivated by fear. And the fear is on this worst possible outcome, and that is bad fear. So the focus on yourself is a bad focus. Fear of the worst possible outcome is a bad fear. And putting your faith in the foundations is a bad faith. And I'm not saying that when verse 3, we ask the question, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Not saying that's not a legitimate question. There are many times in life where it feels like foundations are falling out from under us. But we must ask this question after we ask, when the foundations are destroyed, what can we do? We must ask, well, am I putting my faith in the wrong things to get me through life? There are many foundations that we can end up depending on. And think about what it is for you. Is it your job? Your money? Your politicians or political outcomes? Relationships with a spouse, a child, a parent, friend, a significant other? Is it your health, your good looks, your intelligence, cars, houses, a whole number of things? And many of these things are good gifts in themselves. They're gifts from God, but when we place our faith in those things, these foundations, something will go wrong, and those foundations will be destroyed. And if that happens, what can you do? Well, you can respond the bad way, focus on yourself and on your safety first. You can fear the worst possible outcomes. You can put your faith in those things of this world. But there is a better way, and we see it in verses 4 through 7. This is the good way. It shows us what the righteous can do. And primarily, it entails looking up. Verse 3, he asks about the foundations, and of course foundations are, right, the bottom of a building. The foundations are the things underneath you, so he's looking at the foundations. Then verse 4, what does it say? Lord's in his holy temple. Lord's throne is in the heavens. They're looking up. Perhaps that sort of solution, just look up to God in heaven, sounds a little simplistic. Sounds kind of like you're maybe just ignoring the problem. Of course, David is not ignoring the problem. He faced many problems throughout his life, and it's not that he was passive in his response to all those problems. But David shows us how the very perspective we approach things with changes everything. And this is the perspective we need to have, that the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. See, David, the advice David was hearing, he's saying, all right, king, you need to leave your throne because of this bad situation. And David was saying, I don't need to worry about my throne because I know that the true king is on his throne. And there is no chaos or anarchy or plot or tragedy in this life that God is not fully in control of. And this perspective that God is in his heavens, this perspective completely reorients and changes our focus, our fear, and our faith. And you see how the focus changes in the second stanza. It's very obvious. Look at verses 4 through 7. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heavens. His eyes see. His eyelids test. The Lord tests. His soul hates the wicked. Let him rain coals on the wicked, fire and sulfur. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. God, God, God. He is the focus of verses 4 and 7. He is the main character and we are not. And that is the problem with the advice that David has been hearing in verses 1 through 3, is it's been rewriting the script to put us in place of the main character. But we are not. God is the main character. We are to focus on God in everything. Maybe that doesn't sound comforting to you. Maybe it sounds like, okay, focus on God, focus on God. Yeah, yeah, well, he's up in his heavens, but we're down here. We're dealing with these things. Does God really care? Well, yes, of course God cares. God cares so much that though he is in his heavens and he remains in his heavens and always has remained on his throne, the Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of God, he left his throne. And he came to earth. He became a man. And he dealt with many of the problems we faced. He was tempted just like we are, yet without sin. He lived a perfect life. He died for us. And he rose to save us from sin and death. And he ascended, and now he is on his throne. And when you, Christian, look up to God's throne and you focus on that, on God, you don't just look to Christ on the throne. Bible says you can go to that throne. You can touch that throne. That Christ's throne in heaven is a throne of grace. Not only is it a throne of grace, but it is a throne of grace that we can draw near to. It says in Hebrews 4:16, we can draw near to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace. When we focus on God, we are focusing on God in Christ, on a throne of grace, desiring us to draw near to him. God in Christ is our focus, and God in Christ is our fear. And you see throughout this stanza the power of God in this psalm. He sees everything, verse 4. Verse 4 and 5, he tests. He's able to test mankind. He tests the righteous. He hates the wicked and he will punish them. Verse 5 and 6, you see those fearsome words. He'll rain coals and fire and sulfur. This is a fearsome God that is being described. And it might surprise us that if we are putting our trust in God, that we ought to fear him. If I believe in God, why should I fear him? Well, the Bible says several times, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's one of the more important aspects of Christian living, or especially Old Testament Christian living is described in these terms. And though for us God in Christ is our God, he is God for us, we must remember that he is all-powerful, that he is holy and he is righteous. And a God that is all-holy, all-righteous, all-knowing, all-seeing, that should inspire awe in us. And that's been the response of people throughout the Bible. When Isaiah sees a vision of God, he says, "Woe is me, I am undone." When Jesus, in the flesh, goes and he performs the miracle of the great catch, Peter, his response is to fall down before Jesus and say, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man." He fears Christ. And when Jesus calms the storm, the disciples weren't afraid of the storm, they were afraid of the one who calmed the storm. Because he had power over the foundations. So even Jesus, the same Jesus who sits on the throne of grace, who we can come to with our troubles, this Jesus deserves our fear. We shouldn't fear him because he is capricious. He has already promised to forgive all those who come to him and seek forgiveness for their sins. So if you have trusted in Christ, you do not need to fear him that he will punish you with this sort of fire and sulfur. But you do fear him as your sovereign, as one who controls all things, and as one who is testing you. Fear him in such a way that you desire to please him. Fear him so that when you are tested, this fear leads you to seek to be obedient to his will. But if you have not returned, or not turned from your sin, if you have not trusted in Christ as your Savior, this psalm shows there is a fear of punishment, a fear that the Lord hates the wicked and those who do violence. And if you have not turned to him, you must fear that this hatred remains upon you. And if that is you, then you must turn to Christ and believe in him. Acknowledge him as your Lord. Forsake your own deeds. forsake focus on yourself and faith in other things. Put your faith in Christ. And that is the good response in any circumstance in life. Focus upon God and Christ, fear of God and Christ, and faith in God, who is Christ. Faith in Christ is, in fact, the beginning of being righteous. What can you do when everything falls apart? What can the righteous do? Well, the first thing is to put faith in Christ. And then, in doing so, you are declared right with God. You are declared righteous. And you are given the perfect righteousness of Christ. And then when the foundations fall away, the good response throughout life is the response of David to declare boldly, "In the Lord, in Christ, I have taken refuge." And you live with your focus upon God, not on yourself, fearing God in Christ and not the worst that can happen, with your faith in God. And then the Christian life is just seeking to live all of life in this God-centered way. And the wonderful thing is, verse 7 shows it pleases God. It says the Lord loves righteous deeds. And living life this way in humble dependence on Him, that is what righteous deeds look like. He is pleased with that. I'll close with one last thing. You see the last words of this psalm. The upright shall behold His face. This is the promise for the righteous. It is a promise going all the way back to Aaron's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. What a wonderful promise that one day we will see God's face, as we read in our reading in 1 John. We will see God's face. We will be like Him. So now we look up to heaven, to Christ on His throne by faith. One day, faith will be sight. We will see Him, and with one look, we will know that our faith was not in vain. That when the foundations were destroyed, we were right to flee to Jesus for refuge. Let us look to Him now in prayer. Dear Lord, we would see Jesus and we would see Him now if we could. Lord, turn our eyes up to You in Your heavens, on Your throne, controlling all things. Father, we confess many times we do live as though You did not exist. We ask Your forgiveness, and we thank You that You not only draw our gaze to You, but You come down to us. Lord, we pray that You would help us to draw near to the throne of grace where Christ, who has come down to us, is seated. Lord, may we all come to Christ acknowledging that no foundation will support us in this life but Christ. May we trust Him for our foundation. May we rest in Christ, and may we look forward to seeing His glorious face one day. I ask this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.